On.
Merrily.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
No, just exhaling.
I know. I haven't done
Well,
it
I
yet. Gosh, how do you feel?
feel terrific. I mean it's one of those benchmark days, right?
Yep, I put it in my calendar. I put it in my calendar to remind me every year that this was the day you finished Floppy Feathers. It's
It's
an
a hell of a good
amazing
book.
day. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
it's a hell of a good book, and it's going to be a great movie. Sent. We're going to try and get the transcript to Milan pretty quick, electronic transcript.
Good.
But yeah, you're. I don't know. You're such a gift. I don't. I had a chance to reflect because I was driving around today. I was thinking about who you are, just about who you are to me. And because the as a writer, what do I what's my gift? What do I get from this? And what I got was you. And not that I have you, but I mean the thing is I learned so much from you. It's a learning. I mean, you're prized, you're wonderful, and all the stuff that you want to say about that, but you're just a such a high value thing, it's you're just fantastic. I mean, driving down these back streets of Ballard, thinking about Merrily and thinking, like. I was kind of being reflective, I guess. After you hit, you hit the bell like this, and where we are now, we're going to go into, design and everything else, and off it goes. And it's serious. It's a serious play for a movie, and I'm thinking, pinch myself. I mean, where were we? Where were you and I 2 or 3 years ago? I mean, and I hit the bell yesterday. I mean, I've got. I'm not sure, how it counts, but between you and me, we have over 11,000 text messages.
That's so crazy. I don't even know how do you figure that out, or where does it say
Oh,
that?
I can go in there and get it. I mean, it's a way to what you do is you delete the account, and as soon as you delete the account, it sits dormant for 40 days. Then it tells you all about the account. Then you renew the account. Again, then everything comes back. So you have all the stats on the account. And yeah, we hit yesterday we hit north of 11,000 text messages. And I'm thinking, seven's lucky number, blah blah blah, all this kind of stuff. I mean, and
I know.
it's such a gift. I mean, our life, I just knowing you is such a big fucking deal. It's just amazing. You're a big deal. You really are.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. It's bigger than life. You just, how do you wrap your head around what just happened?
I sat in my truck this afternoon facing uphill on Queen Anne. And I was sitting there waiting, and my friend Bill Johnson comes down, comes off his house, comes down, and just opens the door and gets in my truck. And he said, "Let's go." And he's wearing a Coast Guard T-shirt because his son is a chief in the Coast Guard. And he said, "Let's go." Well, I said, "Well, no." Anyway, we talked. I said, "Look, I just got off the boat." Anyway. So it's the usual guy to guy, what's new? So I start talking about Floppy Feathers. And I start to talk about this story. And he's incredible. I mean, he's you serious? I said, yeah. I said, it's a whole new genre. I said, it's going to be great. And this and that, da 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 da. And he said, and then I'm telling him, talking to him. He said, oh, he said, that's a spoiler. I'm not going to tell Morgan about that. No, I won't. I promise I won't tell anybody. He said, this is wow. And then he talked about deals, and he said, I, he said, He said, I've read it and I've listened to it both. And he said, you're a hell of a good writer.
Oh my God, John.
And then he said, well, he said, no, he said, you're a really great storyteller and a really good writer.
Yes.
I
Yes.
thought, God damn, this is a nice afternoon, you know?
Right. Right. And it takes both. There's the artistry of telling the story, not just knowing it.
Well, and the beauty of it is, of course, and I was telling him this too, is that I said, here's the good news, Bill, the story's real. I said, this
Yeah.
is, you know, the story's real. I said, she came to me in the southern sky, 4:30 in the morning, and it started there. And he said, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wow.
All he could say was, wow.
Yeah.
And he's a smart guy. I mean, he was the head guy for Rocky for years. And did the design work for the Seattle Center for the World's Fair.
Yeah.
You know, no junk.
Yeah.
Smart guy, big time. He said, this is great.
Well,
Wow.
yeah, I mean, I was after you were done, last chapter, I was so excited, and I had a call come in. I was, telling a friend, and he knows obviously that you're writing the book, but doesn't really know what it's about and all this stuff. So I even amazed myself, John, that I could take him from Dill's Danger Destiny through the story, and then describe it the way you wrote it to give him a visual of the magnitude of what it was. And I could just feel his energy on the other side, like, whoa. And then I got distracted. There was like another caller. I don't remember what happened. Maybe Ben got in the car or something. And I had to go. So I couldn't even tell him the end, but I know it was like a total cliffhanger.
Well, hang in there. Let me buy two coffees. Yeah,
Oh
that's
my
great.
gosh, yeah. But it's literally larger than life. Like you can't wrap your emotion around it. The reality, the motion, the you just did this. You just did this, John, without ever
Yeah.
planning it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that came from the light coming off the top of the monastery. I know that, but coming through the ceiling. I get the process and how this started. I think that once people realize that this is the fifth dimension real, this is the fifth dimension actuality,
Yeah.
fourth and fifth dimension actuality, it's gonna really raise some eyebrows. But and it should. The publisher said it's a new genre. He said it's hard to peg because he said it's a real story with real people in another dimension. He said, we can't call you wrong. It sounds good. And yeah. And what's beautiful about it, like I've said before, is that we can tell the story as it happened. And in the epilogue, it's going to be the relationship will be there between the writer and the protagonist, and why it's authentic and so forth. And I'll think about that. But that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the whole thing. In my opinion, is that it's a real story. It's
It's
not.
so
It's
accurate.
yeah. It's very accurate, and it's not. It's. I mean, it's studied accurate, and it's not fantasy. It's not fantastic.
Right.
It's day to day. Here it is. Put one foot in front of the other. This is how it happened. I mean, it's every bit as good as Eben Alexander going to heaven. Every bit as good as Proof of Heaven, I think. I mean, he went to Harvard. And I mean, I went to Harvard too. But I mean, he was a Harvard neurosurgeon. He probably got. Some attaboys for that, but I don't. I think we're right there. I think the story is golden, golden. I really do.
I know.
I'm excited.
There's really no
I mean,
words.
can you tell? Can you tell I'm excited?
I Well, that's why I was saying it's your gift. When I talk about You know, like we
No,
all
you're
have.
my gift. You're my gift. You
Well,
know, don't get it straight. You're my gift.
thank you. Well, okay, so I'm obviously part of that gift for sure, because you know, like when I say that we all have this Christmas tree with all these gifts under there, and you never know when the gift is going to be given, right? But you get used to working for the gift. That's what you want, because it's so unexpected. You don't know what it is, but it's so fabulous. You just don't know. And you know, when we came together, clearly we didn't know. You know, we just didn't know, and it evolved into this most beautiful story. Just amazing to me.
I told Bill the truck today, I said, Merrily told me that if you see it coming, that's not it. It's going to be something else.
That's right.
And he's stamping his feet on the floor. He says, Wow, that's amazing.
Great. Yeah. It's and you know, and it's so true. So every time you see like something is finally working out, right? And it's right here in your grasp. I mean, if it's God-given, if it's a God-given gift, because you know, the devil plays with you. He'll snatch it right out from under you. Doesn't care.
Sure, of course.
Right. But when it's God-given, nobody can take it away from you. It's yours. And you're holding it in your hand, going, oh my gosh, oh my God. But you're holding it so you know that there's more to come. That's not it. Yeah. I mean, that's enough to keep you just, you know, almost comatose in your chair for a while.
I'm all for it. I
Yeah.
don't know. It's, I mean, we're sitting here, you know, just sort of drizzling off in our own fantasy, I mean, our own excitement, but I think we need to portray that to people that listen to us. I mean, it's exciting.
It's
We
exciting.
done it. We have done a triumph today that few people achieve. And I'm not taking anything away from anybody else. It's just that we got lucky. We were given a gift. We took advantage of it. We flew with it. We paid attention, we focused, took it forward, believed it, listened to it, did the research, said, you know, it's this is it. Here, listen to the voices, here they come. And holy shit, here we are.
Right. Andy.
Holy shit.
I
Here we are. Holy Mother of God. Why did Thus
know.
Aquinas is lying?
Huh.
Holy Mother of God.
I
Where are we now?
know. Oh my gosh, you know, and I can't even imagine it as a movie, John. Just wow. You know, because I mean, we don't really have epic movies anymore. We just don't. They're good for a moment, but they're not epic.
No, I think this is gonna, I think this is, I think the book will live. I think the movie will live. I think it's gonna be, I don't know about a cult, but it's certainly gonna be popularized in the press, in media.
It better
I think
be.
it'll get popularized. I think so. Yeah, I'd be surprised if it wasn't. I
How
mean,
could
it,
it
I could always.
not?
We can always be surprised, of course, but I just don't see how it can be avoided.
I don't
I don't see how it can be
either.
avoided. You know, we
No.
did the time, we did the research, did the time, did the work, put it together. We have access to the story, nobody else does.
Right.
They can't take it from us. We own it. You know?
Yep, we own it.
And it's great.
Right. And I mean,
It's just great.
who doesn't want love to be the answer?
Well, and it, yeah, I know. For 137 hours, you and I have talked about that, and I keep rebelling. But, you know, it just has to be
Right.
the answer.
Exactly. It just
Yeah, now this
feels
is not
good.
going to change. This movie, this book is not going to change my attitude. I mean, you know, I'm still number one skeptic. But,
We'll
you
see. Because you still
know
you don't know what's
what?
coming.
I know. I
Yeah,
know. It'll be
now we
great.
gotta hold
It'll be
on
great.
because you created it, and now we'll have other people, you know, create from it. That's
I think,
beautiful.
yeah. Well, I mean, there's going to be design. Of course, the designers are now spooling up. It's going to be all now pretty, mechanical. All of a sudden, it's going to be transactional now for a while, as everything gets designed and put together. It's going to be important too that we get the pictures right, because the pictures, those pictures are put in there, you know, the amulet, the stone, the pictures of the guys, the museum, and you know, in Egypt, the Egyptian Museum, in Cairo, and the Vatican, and so forth. All that stuff is going to be there. I mean, it's a Dan Brown spectacular. I mean, we Dan Brown's got nothing on us, nothing.
Gosh, I don't mean, obviously in my tiny little world, I don't know anybody else who has experienced such a thing. I guess maybe in my ignorance, I don't know, but a lot of things are made up. It's somebody's beautiful imagination and they make up the story. Let's say like Stephen King. Stephen King makes up all these stories. I'm not saying they're beautiful, but he uses his imagination and they become films. Right, and it keeps growing, but we're talking about real people here.
I think that's why I think the epilogue, I think I'm going to focus pretty strongly on how we met and the evolution of our relationship in the fourth and fifth dimension, because I think that underwrites the story one more time. You know, after they read it, they're going to say, you know. It's almost like a some kind of a peer review, almost. I mean, I'm going to write it as a I've got four terminal degrees, and I'm going to write it as a peer review. This is what happened. This is how it happened. And this is why this story needs to be read. And yeah, something like that.
Well, not everybody is going to know of these books, and not everybody's going to see the movie, but God bless the ones that do. If it comes
Yeah.
across your path, because you get
Well, it's
the
going to change your life. It's going to change
right,
your life.
right.
Absolutely change your life. I mean, we could, I mean, not me. I mean, it's your story, but it could be, you could be responsible for turning the entire, I mean, the population of the world could turn based on your story. You know, if read properly, and especially reading the game, I mean, the world could change. Wars could stop. You know, cultures could commingle, borders could be dropped. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that could happen
Right.
just on the strength of your story.
That's right.
You know, that ain't chopped liver.
I know. I know. And I'm not taking credit for it. I just have such a strong faith in, God's promise. We don't know what's been prepared. I just followed the letter.
Yeah, I know. I still have a hard time as a merchandise guy, letting that fly without trying to tag some kind of a marketing scheme on it. I mean, it's like it's too good. I mean, I just want to grab a little money while I can. I mean, how do you have a white diamond angel come by that's got the power of the entire universe and not quite get a whack at that, you know? But it'll be all right. I won't. I'll be good.
But it's all part of the plan. We just
Think? I
don't
think it is, yeah.
know. That was kind of like the escape room that we were in for Emma's birthday. You're finding all the clues and unlocking the locks and getting to the next room, all that stuff. So, and this one was called the Gold Rush. So at the very end, you get these cable wires and you blow up whatever, and then the pot of gold comes out. And yeah, that's where we're at. That's where we're at, John.
That's where we're at. You ever blown up any dynamite?
No. No, John, I
Well,
have not. And how would that be?
I bought some property on Flathead Lake in western Montana at one time, and I wanted to put a little marina in there, a little piece of, you know, and it was I had a big rock front and I couldn't figure out how to get it out, so I figured I'll just blow it out. So I bought a case of 40% nitrile dynamite and a bunch of fusees and stuff, and diamond bit drills and whatever, and rented all this stuff and took it down to my property and started drilling holes in the side of this mountain and put a bunch of dynamite in there and
Oh my gosh.
stuff. And just, you know, if one is good, two is better, three must be better than that. Just kept
Oh
sticking the
my
dynamite in there.
gosh. John.
So I load the place up with dynamite and was with a friend, and we move the equipment up, and then I lit this stuff, because, and I didn't do electric cap, I did a light it off. So I light this sucker, psh, there it goes, and we start walking back up the hill. It blew, and it was like a I don't know what it was like. The noise was horrendous.
Oh my gosh.
And the side of the mountain came out and blew into the sky like a
Oh
volcano, like a
my
fucking volcano. Rocks and shit going everywhere, and my
Oh my
property got blown into the water.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I had a marina, all right. No shit. I had a nice marina.
Oh my
Well,
God. You're lucky you got to walk away from that.
I know, man. My life has been that way. I've done a few things that, I'm lucky to be alive. And we're looking at each other like, whoa. And we can't see. There's so much smoke and dust and rocks and debris. You know,
Oh
we don't even know
my
what happened. I mean, it was like Mad Max, man.
Oh my
But,
gosh.
well, then of course the next part is, of course, here comes the cops, here comes
Right.
the sheriff, here comes the helicopters. What the hell
Imagine?
just
Oh my God,
happened?
John. And what happened?
Oh yeah. Well, they talked to us firmly.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't you know you have to get permits to do this? You know anything
Right.
about dynamite? Are you guys doing? Who are you? You
Oh
know
my gosh.
Oh
But
yeah. Yeah.
what did it end up being okay because it was your property or what?
Well, I was okay because I was not that. That wasn't a problem because it was my property. But I didn't have a license,
Yeah.
so the county, came after me and wanted, I got a lot of firm discussions going on. But yeah, anyway.
Don't do that
Don't do that again, you idiot.
again. Yeah.
Well,
Blowing up mountains.
the thing is, I mean, they said, of course, that was my first lesson. By the way, they said, if you know how to put the fuse, the wick, the whatever it is, in the dynamite, you can blow yourself up just trying to do the deal.
Oh
I
my
mean,
God. Yeah.
you're rank amateurs. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah. Oh God. How old
Well, you're
were
talking about
you?
lucky. I don't know. 35, 40, I don't know,
Oh
30
my gosh. Oh
plus or minus 30.
my God. No.
Don't remember age very well. I mean, it's all is a fog, but yeah.
Oh my
Yep.
gosh. Were your parents still alive then?
My mother was, yeah. I think my dad might have been alive too. He died in his 70s. My mother was alive until 89. She died in 89. But yeah, it was wow,
Oh my gosh.
wow. I mean, I've got a lot of those kind of stories, really and truly. I've been on the edge. And one of my sons is just as bad as I am, if not worse. I don't know what to do with him sometimes. I mean, it's just, it's. But
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not much you can do about it. You just have to
I know.
kind of live with it. I mean, how's, by the way, how's the ankle? What happened
Right.
there?
Speaking of which,
Yeah.
well, I guess, the doctor looked at the x-rays and said that, she didn't see any fractures or anything, but that she feels that there is a fracture in the bottom of his foot and that if he doesn't see improvement in a week, he needs to go back and get like further x-rays and stuff. But he was in bad shape. He was really in pain. In so much pain that he had a fever and was throwing up, he said last night.
Yeah, that's a lot of pain. Yeah, that sure is. Found my feel for him. Yeah, well, so it's a crack in the heel or something, he thinks, or whatever. The doctor doesn't know for sure, huh?
Don't know. I don't know if it's like maybe like messed up ligaments or I just don't
Well, that's
know.
even worse. God,
Right.
let's hope for a bone, not a ligament. God, that'd be even worse.
Yeah. So I'm gonna
Well,
take some castor oil tomorrow and wrap his foot. And tomorrow I have to drive to Arizona. Oh God.
you do?
Yeah, 4 hours there, 4 hours back.
Is this for what's that for?
To get Arabella. Because
Oh, you're gonna bring her back? You're gonna bring her back?
because she can't, I
Oh,
mean, Ben can't drive. He's got the boot on his foot.
that's right. Well, he could be a passenger, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could be a passenger, but I still have to drive.
4 hours, 8 hours of driving, eh, to Arizona. And I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, you
It'd be,
figure.
well, it'd be kind of funny. You can talk. You guys can talk on the way. We have a lot to talk about now. You always do anyway, but,
Four hours.
Oh.
I know. Yeah. I wonder how he's feeling. Like, great, I'm in the car for 4 hours with mom. She's got me hostage. I'm giving him the mom talk for 4 hours there, 4 hours back.
Yeah, maybe you should treat him more like a stray dog. You just don't speak and let him come to you, and you just answer, yes, no, yes, I love you. Forget about it. It's all right.
Well,
Don't know.
that's all
I'm.
under the bridge. I mean, it's, he's got a cast now. It's a,
Yeah.
I just showed up. I just did my mom duty and, that's it.
Yeah. Life is, but life is funny. I mean. Today, for what a bumper crop day it was, I also had a potty chair delivered from the potty chair store, whatever it is,
Sorry.
to because I'm tired of because I have this, I have to take these Epsom salt Smith baths, prior to the surgery and after the surgery, and Bobby's going to go on for 3 or 4 months. So I ordered this potty chair, and the reason I did that is because I got this potty chair, right? I put it on the toilet, okay, and it's always overflowing. So I got to put this towel down around the front of the toilet, and I sit down this potty chair, and it bubbles up over the top, and then I got this water all over the floor with this towel. I'm getting tired of that bullshit. So I said, all right. So I'm going to put this sucker in. I'm going to get one of these. I'm going to put it in a bathtub. That'll be fun. That way, now I get rid of the. Don't have to be washing towels all the time. So the damn thing didn't fit. So I put it in and it wouldn't fit. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. My tub is too small for this bastard. So then I put it in sideways and I'm jacking it around. And I'm taking the top off and I screw it back. And I'm thinking, John. This is all in one day. You finish your second book for this series. Everything's great, da da da. And now here you are working on this potty chair. Right?
Oh,
Welcome to life.
that's right.
Welcome to life.
That's right.
So I had to put it in sideways, and then my feet hang over the edge of
Oh my gosh.
the I'm thinking, Doc, can we avoid this somehow?
Oh my gosh, what? Literally a pain in the ass. Oh God.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, all in the same day.
Well,
Wonderful.
it is wonderful. I mean, that's epic. You finished that epic story. Now back to my ass. Let me figure that out. Oh my gosh. Well,
I gotta say, to the credit of the two surgeons that have worked on me so far, it's a lot better. I feel good, no
oh,
pain.
good, good, good.
So I really think it's working.
Good, good, good.
And be another big surgery at the end of the month, but what the hell? You never know. So I'm very optimistic, frankly, that it's not gonna be quite that bad. No matter how bad, I don't care. I mean, it's just, it's what it is. Anyway, my brain is still good. That's the most important thing. I got a good brain, happy, happy. And
Incredible.
so
Incredible.
good.
You know, John, that you're going to be a story. Like, you will be a story. Like all the other stories out there where, people didn't make it until they were, 50, as if that's really old, but 50, or they didn't start till they were 59. You know, like these people who work out. And it's like, we didn't start till we were 59 years old working
Yeah.
out, just
Yeah.
whatever it was. But it wasn't until later in life when, I don't know, just epic things happen to you. And now, you know, I mean, as if your life wasn't enough with all of your accomplishments, you just hit this bases are loaded home run. Yeah.
Yeah, this is running away the greatest triumph, I think. The most satisfactory thing I've ever done is with you. I've had some great successes, but nothing that gets close to the happiness that this represents, to the absolute abstract joy of how this has worked out. Nothing comes close. So I think I had to live a life to be here.
Right.
Probably. I had to live a life to be here.
That's right.
And I think that's, again, it's, you know, I'm lucky, good on me.
But
But
it's both.
that's, yeah.
It's literally both. I mean, you had to live a life to be here to warrant the gift, let's say. But on the other hand, I mean, you're my gift. You're my gift.
Yeah. I mean, we found each other, and I do believe that we are, you know, a couple of photons floating around, and you know, we're written on the wind. I believe that. I believe you and I are written on the wind.
John,
Merrily.
it's 12:06.
That's good. Those are good numbers, yeah.
Yes, it is. Very good. I don't know why. I just happened to notice that, and I've been noticing numbers quite a bit more. They're like just right in my face all the time. I'm like, okay, I gotcha. I gotcha. I see you. Thank you. I see you. Do you do that?
Yeah.
I really do.
I was yeah. And as you brought it up, it just struck me. Today is Ramadan, by the way, for those who are listening. And I've been writing about Muhammad recently and about Solomon and all those guys that ran together or didn't, as the case may be. And last night I watched Goldie. Or Golda, I mean Golda Meir, the famous woman, you know, the Prime Minister of Israel. Her famous thing was the Yom Kippur War, and all this, you know, what's going on now? The Muhammad was the ultimate. I think he was the first meditator of any consequence when he got the first messages from the Quran. In a cave outside of Mecca. All this stuff that we live through and we identify with and we confabulate as that has meaning, and I think a lot of it does. You know, like the numbers you're talking about, you know, numerology and numbers and tarot cards and whatever, or tarot cards, whatever they are. I don't know. I don't practice any of that stuff, you know. I mean, I've done the Ouija board and stuff like that. But it seems to me that if you're alert to it, if you're looking for it carefully, you can at least get close to it. And study these people that like Muhammad and Solomon and you and whoever you run with, Thor and you know, your gang. Your business about elevation, and how you keep bumping into these things, how you elevate yourself and you bump into these numbers and you bump into, you know, signals. You're getting signals all the time. And you're seeing, and I think my interpretation of that is that you're seeing those signals as that you're on the right course, right? Someone's telling you you're on the right path. You're on the right path. Do this because, and when you turn around, you get another signal, another signal, another signal, right? Then there's, all right, so that's good. Then there's people like me, okay, who have to invent signals practically. I don't get the signals. I mean, I'm a piker compared to you, when it comes to getting signals. I mean, I did find a feather once, you know, and I find the odd coin here and there. But it's almost like my tuner, my brain, my tuner is full of glue compared to yours. it's like I've, poured hot tar over my brain or something. And it's how you've been doing this for how long now? 17, 20 years you've been practicing this?
Well, 15,
15 years.
yeah, 15 years since my commitment.
So I mean, you've been serious about keeping yourself
Oh, yeah.
in alignment for 15 or 16 or whatever it is years. All right, right. So I guess I don't feel that bad then. Well, because I, I maybe it's just a male ego. I don't know what it is, but I mean, I want to be like you. Yeah, I want to find these things. I want to pass. I want to find
Right.
signals, right?
Right.
But I've been Mr. Anti-Signal for a long time, and I don't have 17 years of practice.
Well, I don't, I mean, remember though, it wasn't just what people might think of as spirituality, because you can be taught, right? You can believe and be taught to look for numbers. You're looking at numbers to watch the signs. So you're actually looking for things. Looking for things is not the same as it being brought to you.
Well, that must be some sort of graduation ceremony where when you stop looking and they're brought to you.
It's just things that are so coincidental. I don't want to use that word, but it just seems like, now how does that happen? Come on. Really? Really? How does that happen? And people talk about a confirmation bias, right? Like if you think that you need to get the red car and all of a sudden you're seeing red cars everywhere, you're thinking, see, I told you it's a sign. It's a sign. It's a sign. It's because you're definitely aware of it within this creative realm. I
Sure.
totally get that. Yeah. But it's not when you don't have anything like that. You're really not looking for anything. You haven't decided on, I did not decide to get a red car. And I am on the fence about whether I should or not. And now I'm seeing it everywhere. It's not that. It's literally just going about your day with an absolute commitment to choosing love. Just staying on that right path, staying on that right path. And as you're on that path, it's like just the universe keeps giving you things.
But
And it's like one.
isn't that its own form of confirmation bias?
It is. It's its own form, but you're not looking for anything. If let's say I was not aware, of the difference. Very, fine line between love and the world of money. If I'm not aware of it, that means by default, I'm operating in the world of money, which is blind to love, the actual definition. Okay, so now I'm there. But I believe in numerology. I think that I'm spiritual. I believe in the energy of the crystals. I know that the world operates on energy. I get that it's 369 and it's all about frequency and vibration. My mind has already told me that I already know these things. So I believe that I'm operating in the world of love. And that's not true. What that is personality. You've now reinvented yourself into this spiritual personality. And that's when spirituality is personality and not really spirituality.
So, in this sense of personality, the personality change, if you exercise a personality change, does that then become spirituality?
No, not at all. It's no different than changing your clothes. If you just want to reinvent yourself, and even, I mean, the simple idea of changing a job. I went from wearing a business suit to the office to wearing a chef hat, and now I think I'm a chef. I mean, this is who I am. So now I'm a chef, but I don't want to be a chef anymore. So I'm going to throw some beads around my neck, and I'm going to go to, go and pray on a mountain somewhere, and I know that I'm spiritual. But it's not. You're not that until you understand what love is. That's where the proof in the pudding is. Do you know what love is? Are you exercising that? Because that's when you experience the spirit, the Holy Spirit of the world. If you just own it and say, I'm spiritual, and it's a fad, that's not it.
So on, let's say, Eat, Pray, Love, the book, the story.
Yeah.
She went off on a 3-country or whatever it was, excursion. And was that is that what she was doing? Was she just on vacation? Was she airing out, or was she really looking for something?
Well,
Elizabeth
I'm going to
Gilbert.
Say
we're
that,
talking about Elizabeth Gilbert here.
Yes, and it was a great book, book. And that book would change all of us, right? It affects us deeply, and just by her story, and I loved it. However, there is the graduation, the natural evolution of who we are as we mature. When we mature, we start to understand things that children or, younger people by any measure don't understand yet. That's just maturity. And that's just hopefully what most of us do, is we mature. But maturity doesn't necessarily mean spirituality.
No,
and
of
in
course
that,
not. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So when we're maturing, and then we see, why did we do that to ourselves? Why did I do that to myself? Why did I make those choices? Or, oh my God, I had to make this decision while bawling my eyes out on the bathroom floor, and I just decided I'm out, I'm leaving, and I'm going to go find myself somewhere. So this is what I did. And you go out on this excursion, and you learn about the world. And when you learn about the world, you learn about yourself. You grow.
So
you grow.
She was in a growth process then, because of her
right
crying herself to sleep on the bathroom floor and all that business.
Right.
And so what did any spiritualism? Did she have to end up at the ashram to get spiritualism, or did it ever really happen to her?
Well, I mean, I'm not personal friends with her.
You're not?
No.
I have her address.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday it's in the queue. But I mean, right now, for face value, we can, follow her story and know her, how she grew into being who she is today. And now she is this author who influences, millions of people, maybe. And it's a beautiful thing. Who she is inside her home, who she is on a day to day, I don't know.
That's a whole different deal. Yeah, I know. That's one of the
right.
ways. That's one of the ways you've shot me down repeatedly in the past. I remember that now as you're bringing
what
it
do you
up.
Mean?
Yeah, I remember that. One of your favorite silver bullets.
Right.
Yeah.
So now for the world, this figure is successful. They've got money. They've written these beautiful stories, and we can believe her. She has led the way. And we're not discrediting her at all. But alone, when you're with yourself, that's when you really understand, where is your power? Where is your understanding? Where is your relationship to love? Are you still crying yourself to sleep on the bathroom floor?
Yeah, could be. And now, but at that point, then you might be afraid to come out and admit it, because now society has you someplace else, and you're not there at all. You're not there at all. So it's hard to break out of that, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Now that is the imposter. Success, and that's the devil at work, because you will get the success in the world, but you still don't know what love is.
How are you gonna pass all this off on the devil all the time?
Because it's only one or the other. It's either the world or it isn't the world.
But I mean, devil equals world in this context, then. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The world of the devil, or the spiritual world, mm-hmm. and everything else.
Well, that's why when Jesus says, I'm in it, but I'm not of it, I'm in it. I'm here, I'm walking it, but I'm not of this. And we have all been given free will to be in it and not of it. But because the world of glitter and money takes over our ego, feeds our ego, then we become of it.
Well, it certainly makes sense, but it seems to me I keep layering that with all sorts of other control mechanisms that have to do with capitalism, religion, you know, whatever. I mean, let's take Ramadan, for example. I mean, there's, you know, people just simply stop eating and they're during the daytime. I suppose that's healthy for a while.
To stop eating?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't eat during the daytime during Ramadan. You can't eat during daylight hours. But I mean, whose idea was that? I mean, what?
That's really interesting, too.
You know, what?
Can't
so,
eat while the sun is out.
Yeah. I mean, does it piss off the sun or what? I mean, if I'm going to say anything bad about any one of the religions, I mean, I pull them all in the same bag because I still think it's a control mechanism. I mean,
right.
It's, you know, it's an invention to
right.
control people. And they, some people feel like that's what they need. I mean, my parents were that way. God, they just, you know, lived and breathed.
But you know what?
What?
But maybe it's not, it's just our innate desire to be one with God. So you kind of, your mind bypasses the idea of control and it's, you're exercising who you believe you are.
You're so
You know,
charitable. You're so charitable. God.
What?
Oh, gosh. It's okay. Marilee says it's going to be all right.
But it's true. We always believe the best about ourselves. Inside, it's like, but I don't want to hurt anybody. But I am a good person. But I am kind. You know, so when you're going to church and you're, you know, following whatever religion it is your submission saying, no, I do believe in God and I want to be one with God. You're trying to find your way home.
Yes. I mean, that's, I don't know how many people use that phrase, but you use it quite a bit to find your way home. Home being with God, I presume. Yes. Yes.
Home being with love.
With love. With love. Which is God.
Right.
Which is God.
Being who you, right. Which is God. Which is your authentic self.
Yes. Because we came from that. We are,
right.
We are the vision, the vision and likeness and so forth. And
right.
So on. And
so as Jesus says, I'm in it because the physical body is in it. But I'm not of it, meaning he still lives at home. This is not home.
Yeah. Since I met you, I've had to put masking duct tape on the back of my American Bible.
What do you mean?
Well, because it keeps coming apart, because I open it up all the time and I look at it. And say, well, let's see what you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 14 and, you know, Jeremiah mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. Why does the Bible come up with versions for religious sects? Like the Catholic version is different. The Douay version is different than the other, the King James version and so forth. Is that has to do with transubstantiation or something? Or?
Well, let's think about it. It's a version.
Yeah.
It's a version, meaning who has the authority to change this version to that version?
Well,
clearly,
anybody that wants more control, it seems to me.
Right. So it can't, if it's a version of the truth, it's not true.
But so which version is true?
Only love is true. If it's not love, it's not true.
Right. Okay, so does that mean the game is the new Bible? We just throw the other one out?
Well, you keep trying to bring me there, but I'm not going to say that.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well,
you know, it's a simpler read. It's a much simpler read. It's not speaking riddles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of fact stuff. You should have it you should have that translated in 50 languages and just ship it off, you know?
Yeah. I think it will be.
I think it will be too eventually. Sure. Has to be.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I mean, I don't want to, chase this. I don't want to become heretic. It's like the business of religion. The business of religion. Why does religion have to be a business? I guess it does because they got to pay the rent like everybody else. How about tax exemption? What do you think about being a tax-free organization for religion? Should they be exempt from paying taxes?
No, because they're not true. No, they're falsifying documents. If that's the case, we should all be exempt. And I firmly believe that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the perks in Congress are insulting when you consider what the ordinary people have to go through. The perks in Congress are absolutely insulting. Absolutely insulting. Yes, indeed. My thought
Well,
exactly.
yeah, so there's that conversation. But on a different note, last night we were celebrating my son's girlfriend's birthday, and we're all sitting around, and we're all sitting like in a circle. And there's everybody.
On the floor or in chairs or what?
Chairs, yeah,
Okay.
chairs. And just having a, just talking. So I've got we'll call her my daughter-in-law, my daughter to my right. I've got my ex-husband's wife and her daughter to my left, and then the boys are further around, and we're talking about about love, and about religion, and about soulmates. And so I'm my daughter, man, she is the first one to push back on me all the time. And she's like, "I'm sorry, I just don't believe that."
Sounds like a mother-daughter thing to me, yeah. Sounds pretty
Yeah.
classic.
And I right? And I just have to laugh at myself because it's like, "All right, baby. How long you been here? 23 years?" And but it's fine because she's got the open floor to push back if you don't think. And so her question was about, do you believe in soulmates? And I said no. And she goes, "Well, why?" So she's wanting me to appeal to her romantic side, right? There's got to be that one person, your soulmate. And it's like, no, because if we think that there is a mate, right, we're incomplete and divided, and we're not incomplete, nor are we divided. That's a fallacy. We are all one. So if we're all one, how do we find that soul mate?
It's well, that just throws your argument under the bus right away.
Well, not to a 23-year-old.
Well, no,
She's
because
still gone.
she's still searching, right?
Yeah.
Her
Well,
soulmate.
yeah, she
Yeah.
wants to believe in it. So
Right.
she's looking at astrology and, she's looking
Yeah.
at air signs and water signs and this and that. I'm thinking to myself, God, if this is not the epitome
But if she finds
of.
a perfect soulmate in her mind, a perfect soulmate, the
Yeah.
public record supports that she has a 50-50 chance of having it work out. Your odds are only 50-50 if you find a perfect soulmate. You still only have a half chance of making it work.
Isn't that
Based
our divorce
on
rate?
human nature, that's our divorce rate, yeah.
So then
Yeah.
how is that a win
Not a
if
win.
we have a 50-50 chance if we find our soulmate?
Yeah.
That is the most ridiculous thing
Yeah.
that
I found my soulmate and now I got my finding my perfect soulmate, I got a 50-50 chance of making this work. That's as good as it's gonna get. That's as good as it gets. It's
then it might as well
50-50.
not exist. You didn't find your soulmate. It's all bullshit.
Of course it is. Of course it's bullshit.
Yeah. But again, just to have that perspective, we're looking to the outside. The responsibility is on the outside. If I find my soulmate on the outside, your soulmate is you.
Right.
You need to go and find your own soul.
Nobody makes you whole excepting you.
You're right.
Yeah. Of course you can have people help you like you help people find themselves, by your writing and by your talking. people are, you know, gobsmacked by what you have to say. And
Well,
that's good, I guess.
but you know
Makes
what?
Me jealous sometimes. Makes me jealous.
Of what?
Because you're so much better than I am. I mean, God,
oh,
just a male.
Please,
Just
Don.
an ego. Just an ego thing, you know? Yeah, but she did it again. How did she do that?
The difference, I think, with me is that I put the truth in just clear black and white on the page so that, again, we've said this before, anybody could read it and work on themselves, you know, without going to a counselor or without having to be with me. If you want to shorten your learning curve, well, that's where I come in. But if you don't want to do that, or you can't afford to do that, or whatever the reason is, you're too far to do it, I don't know, then you can do it on your own.
Yeah.
Then it really becomes, are you accountable to yourself?
Well, yeah, but that's, I mean, it goes back to your training. I mean, I've said this before when I was on the way to court with my attorney, and I'm telling my attorney that we're going to win, you know, because we're right and righteous and on the right of good. And he said, you got to be kidding. There's no truth in court, you know.
Right.
Forget that. So who tells the best story? Don't be stupid, John.
Yeah.
We're not going to the truth seminar here. We're going to who's got the best story. And the judge has no idea who you are and will make a decision based on your story. So polish it.
Even that is tilted. <Mm-mm>. No. They don't give a shit about your story. It's
well,
who's going to pay the bill?
That's, of course. But I mean, that's what lawyers are supposed to be for helping you polish your story. I guess. I don't know. I mean, the professionalism, I suppose. I belong to organizations where I have, you know, I have to subscribe to a mission statement, I guess, whatever that is.
Okay.
But I think that. I don't know what I think anymore. I everybody's got such a great idea, and I don't believe anybody anymore, you know? Other than maybe you now and then. I mean, when you're really hot, you know, on your game, I'll believe you.
Well, you know, back to that conversation, as we're talking about, you know, these things, I was asking, you know, you know, what is trust? Do you know how to define trust? I said,
they're asking you that question?
No, I'm asking my daughter and Brie.
All right.
And I said, you know, it's been my experience that when I ask my audience who or what is trust, right? How do you know if you can trust somebody? If you don't know what trust is, there's no way you can understand who to trust somebody or how, who's trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know, you have to question these things. And I don't remember what she said, but then I said, well, this is why I wrote it in the book for you. You know, if you read it. And then that's when, to my left, my ex's wife's daughter, how do we call her? What do I call her? But she goes, oh, well, there's a shameless plug.
A shameless plug for your book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, sorry. And there you go. There you go. If what I'm teaching is reduced down to a shameless plug, you're not hearing the message.
Anybody come across the table and start swinging? I guess you don't do that in your family meetings.
Huh? Oh, no. No, I ignored it. Yeah, I totally ignored that. I really don't care, you know, and we know what's unfortunate is when people are clearly, clearly hurting, clearly their life is chaos, and they don't understand how to get out from underneath this cycle of pain that they're creating for themselves. And they're sitting right there in the room and they can't take your hand. And they won't ask. And if they don't ask, you know, there's no invitation. Can't say anything. Now, my daughter-in-law, she's a sweetheart. She's an absolute doll. She'll ask.
I've been at a couple of those sit down arrangements where there actually fights broke out. I don't know if that's good or bad, frankly.
The reason the fight breaks out is because people get triggered and they don't know how to handle what was said. You know, I could have snapped back. Why would I do that?
Well, it makes it very, I mean, if you do, it makes the whole thing really uncomfortable really fast.
Right.
And I don't think that's your intention, especially not in the situation you're in. That's a, family get together, not a kickboxing match downtown. So yes, of course I get that. Yeah. But it doesn't, yeah. I don't know. The only thing I remember about the first fight was that the dog got to eat all the meat, because the fight was so obnoxious and crazy that the dog, a big German Shepherd, started eating the meat that was being cooked for the party.
Where is this coming from? I don't
Remember
know this story.
the fight. Yeah, we had a party at the house, and somebody got mad, and somebody took off a stiletto heel and hit somebody with it,
Oh my goodness.
and then it went into punches and fisticuffs, and then it was in our house, so
Oh my God.
the so we're running around trying to save the furniture. I mean, people are being thrown and hit, and I mean it's a real brawl,
Oh my gosh.
and we had a peacock. My dad had a We had a big peacock that was spread out across the top of a piano sitting, and my dad didn't want anyone to hurt the peacock, so he's on the piano keeping people away from the peacock, and my mother's trying to save the china and silver and so forth, and the dog is in the kitchen
Oh
eating the food, and I'm running around running around my tail going Yeah, I mean, it's such a comedy. I mean, when you think about it, it was amazing, really, what was going on. Yeah. And then one time
Did you
I,
ever?
huh? Come on.
I was going to ask you if you've ever seen The Family Stone.
The Family Stone? No.
Yeah, you should
No.
watch that movie.
Okay.
That's what you. Yeah, that's what you just described. And
Okay.
it's. I love that
No,
movie. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on. What
that's
were you going to
okay. I
say?
mean, that's all right. I mean, the only other fight where it broke out was during the first Super Bowl. In Utah, or I was in Utah during the first Super Bowl game. And God Almighty, it was another fight situation. But I don't
I
know.
have never experienced that, John.
It's a lot of people have never taken a punch, and that's one of the first things they do when you go into special ops training. That's why boxing is a part of the fundamental training for that, is because people that come in, very few people have ever taken a punch. They've seen it, but they've never felt the hit, the fist hit them in the face. And that's a big
Well,
comeuppance.
yeah. I'm just saying that kind of behavior, like the last memory I have of that, I remember when I was, I don't know, I must have been like 10 or 12 years old and my aunt punched somebody in the face. I don't remember who it was. I was a kid and I didn't know, I didn't understand why she just punched him in the face, but she was mad.
Yeah.
I mean, but my own personal life? No. In raising my family, like with Doug and I having our children, no.
Yeah. Well, I've never had that situation with my own family, my own children, I mean.
Yeah, like I mean, the
But
boys have never been in a fight.
yeah, well, but I
I
did. I
mean, with each
mean,
other.
well, it's yeah. Well, the little, I mean, a little kid screaming over a toy or something. Maybe it happens, but maybe not in your case. I don't know. But I mean, my kids. I mean, they were. I put them in fencing class. Taught them how to fence. Taught them how to parry, thrust and parry. We had boxing. Christine's a boxer. I don't know what that means, anything, but she's an accomplished boxer, actually.
Right.
And I I don't know. I mean, I'm not particularly good at anything other than just watching.
Oh, well, I
So,
mean, I did taekwondo with my kids.
yeah, I mean,
That.
you can do all that stuff. You can kick box and kick and spin and, racquetball, right? I mean,
Right,
you're
right.
athletic. I think there's something to do with geometry. I think that your body geometry has a lot to do with your capacity to be a good athlete. You must have really good body geometry. Do you think you do?
I have no idea. What does it mean?
Well, I mean, just the way, the angle of the length of from joint to joint and your arms and legs and how your skeleton's put together.
I've never thought of it like that.
I had a doctor of some sort. I had to have an X-ray somehow of my body for whatever reason. And he said, "You've got perfect body geometry, John. Perfect body geometry." I thought, "What the hell does that mean?" And so I never thought about it, other than I thought later on, I thought, that's got to have something to do with an athlete. Because among my kids, for example, I've watched them grow, and I have, thinkers, and I have perfect geometry. I have kids that were good at riding horses, good at fencing, kids that were not, and I kind of think that maybe that has to do with geometry. It's how you grow,
The other day I did catch myself. I don't know what was getting into me. All of a sudden my thumbs caught my attention and I'm looking at my hands. I'm going, why are my thumbs so small?
There,
I'm looking
see?
at my,
Yeah.
yeah, but I never noticed before. I'm looking at it going, but are these small? Because it's small to me. And I mean, they're proportionate with my hands, but I never really thought about my hands being any size at all. It's just what I got. This is my thing. This is what I got. So I never thought about big or small or this. I don't pay any attention to that, but my thumbs caught my attention, and that's when it went to my hand. And I'm like, do I have small hands? I don't know.
I don't know. Your hands
I
look pretty
don't.
normal to me in photographs. So I've got a picture of your hand across your shoulder there. It looks
Yeah.
pretty good.
Oh,
I
that's
mean,
true.
other than your little finger's crooked.
Right,
So
my
yeah,
two fingers.
yeah, yeah. That's a very. I mean, I've thought about that several times. If I was ever in some kind of a television contest where I had to pick a person out of a crowd, I'd look at your hands immediately. I know who you were.
Right.
I'd grab your hand. I would
And I
know that.
think
Yeah.
Ben has crooked little pinkies too. I think Ben does, yeah. I think two of them do and two of them don't. I don't know why they're so opposite of each other.
Well, you guys have not reached the stage where I'm at right now, which is really lovely, where I watch my hands become crooked. Like my thumb goes up and then turns out to the right, turns away, like it's becoming a windmill or something.
And that's the thing with aging. You just don't know what the hell's gonna happen to you.
My perfect body geometry is now becoming really weird. Yeah.
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 That's really fascinating to watch yourself go, when did that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. You have these, these big knots on your knuckles and stuff like that, and it's I mean, I still show pretty well, actually, for an old guy. But I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. I can see where people, I guess where the cosmetic industry would really, could play hard on keeping you young when you're really not. But I could maybe I could wrap my thumbs to keep them straight, like they used to do in Asia, head wrappings and stuff like that. I could probably straighten these guys back out again, but what's the point? I mean, I'm fine, you find yourself eating differently too. You hold a spoon differently sometimes. You grab with a full hand and throw it in your mouth like you're a shovel. I don't know. It's fun.
No.
Well, yeah, I
I
mean,
don't.
yeah.
No. You eat like that?
It's easier to do. I mean, if you've got arthritis so bad that you
Oh,
can't
yeah.
manipulate your fingers, then you just grab the spoon. I mean, I went to a where they sold arthritis utensils for
Yeah.
people, and they got these great big rubber handles that you can grab because you can't tighten your digits, won't.
Ah.
And then you grab that and you just rattle like a just grab it and then you scoop it up and you stick it in your mouth. I mean, you look stupid, but at least you can feed yourself. you know? And
You know,
I'm
these
not
are not
that.
normal things, John. They're not normal things. These
Of
are
course.
these, yeah.
Well, they're not normal. They're just diseases that come along
No, but
or
they're not normal. The body is a beautiful functioning, work of art. And
yes,
these
it
things
is.
are
Yes, it is.
perpetuated upon us, and the fluoride in the water and all the heavy metals are creating, these disorders.
Yeah, distortions of the body, turning it around.
Yeah.
But I mean, what, the dinosaurs had arthritis. You know, there was no problem back then.
I don't
They've
know.
got,
I can't confirm nor deny.
yeah, they've got. I mean, they figured out they have a lot of dinosaur. You know, we've got the Burke Museum around here, so we talk about that kind of stuff. But yeah,
Well, I
dinosaurs had arthritis too. I've got arthritis. I mean, I've got rheumatoid arthritis, what I have. And so I'm in a constant state of, I don't know, craziness, pain, something.
What does it go to?
Huh?
What does it do to you? Like,
Well,
what is it?
it was an autoimmune disease, and what happens is that it's like I said, I've watched my thumbs curve out to the right, you know, like they're turning like bananas. My thumbs look like bananas. Because it creates it attacks your joints and distorts your structure. And so you're taking the path of least resistance away from the problem. And your fingers get all crooked and you look like a Bela Lugosi movie after a while. You know? And it's all autoimmune. I mean I have an overactive immune system. Diagnostically, I have an over my immune system is too active, and so that creates a distortion. So what I take is a deadener for my immune system.
Well, if it's there's something else obviously going on that's kicking in your immune system.
Well, probably, but it's been going on for thousands of years. I mean, I'm so much better now that I met you. In terms of, much better. I mean, in terms of how I view stuff, you know, I think about things before I stick it in my mouth. I really do. We made soda bread yesterday, with currants. Really good, actually. But it wasn't quite sweet enough. And I thought, I'm going to put some sugar on this. I thought, well, I wonder if Mary Lee would put sugar on her soda bread. She probably would a little bit, you know. So I did. I put a lot on. It's pretty
A lot.
good.
Apparently we put a little. I'm gonna put a lot. Yesterday when we were at our function, when I showed up, Emma was laid out on the couch in serious pain with a migraine. And when you get a migraine, then you got to throw up. You can't look at the light. It's just, she was all pale, absolutely terrible. I said, "Oh, baby, you're sick." And she's like, "Oh, my head is killing me," whatever. So, she managed to drag herself off the couch into the kitchen, and that's when I started to rub her back, and I got an ice cube, and I put it on the back of her neck. Right at the base of her neck. And she's, of course, she's always like, "Mom," because I'm always doing like my natural healing. And then I pushed on a couple of pressure points on her feet and then on her hand. Within 20 minutes, she was back to herself. And she had that migraine since the day before.
Did she realize, I mean, would she, did she acknowledge that that you helped her?
Oh no. No.
No, that'd be too much, right?
I think my daughter would acknowledge it. My daughter, she didn't vocalize it, but clearly she was all better and laughing and back to herself. But then it was my ex who said it must have been the electrolytes that, she drank earlier.
Yeah, so that, yeah, so that neutralized what you were doing, probably, huh?
I mean, and there's, it's valid because I told her, I said, "You need salt, baby, you need salt." And of course they didn't have any salt. not good salt. And so I just did whatever. But I was just talking about healing because you said, you know, you're much better since me.
Yeah, well, there's, you ever heard of Nuyu? The tablets, the fizzy tablets that are for athletes.
Okay.
There's that sweat too much, don't have enough water. They take the Nuyu thing.
Okay.
I've got some of those. I use some of that stuff because for years and years and years I've had a this autoimmune thing. Plus, I go into arterial fibrillation pretty easily if I don't have a balanced electrolytes in my body. So I take that to make sure I do, because otherwise I'll end up with an admission. I don't want to do that. That's expensive, you know. I learned that from drinking too much wine when I was younger. That's how I figured it out. I didn't figure it out. A doctor figured it out for me, but I was to the point where, you know, every third glass of wine I had was about a $5,000 idea,
Yeah, that was
because I'd
crazy.
end up in, you know, I'd end up in the emergency room with, you know, arrhythmia. And after about two or three of those, the doctor said, you know, have you considered that you're allergic to wine and, you know, sulfites? He said, I think you're allergic to sulfites. And I said, why don't you stop drinking wine and see what happens? And of course, it worked. But the damage had already been done. So,
That's terrible.
but I'm actually a walking miracle, going down to it. I mean, well, I don't want to get into that, but yeah, I'm still alive. I'm pretty sure. Still there. And
It's
well, I
amazing
have a
what you've
lot.
accomplished.
I have a, yes, it is. You know, I have a lot of experience of doing it wrong. I have as much experience of doing it wrong as anybody I've ever met. Yes. Anybody wants to know how to do it wrong, just talk to John. He'll tell you how
Cut your learning curve
to.
another way.
Right, no
No.
problem. You want to be you want to practice the dynamite? Call John, he'll tell you what to do.
Oh
Right,
my
no problem.
gosh. Yeah.
Bring it
You
up.
know, have you been drinking your tea?
I just lost your signal. Say it again.
Have you been drinking your tea?
Yeah. Oh, Sarasop? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well,
Absolutely. But
You
you
know,
know
I
what? I mean, they say to break up the leaves, to wash the leaves and break them up, and I don't like to do that. I like to
What
wash
is
them. I mean, I wash them for them. I mean, I, you know, rinse them off. They say rinse them off. But did you, are you, do you rinse off your leaves when you before you
Nope.
start?
I don't do anything.
That's
I just
what
throw
it
it in the
says on the
water.
box. It says on the box, rinse them off.
All right.
So maybe you should pass a little water over them, pass a rag over them before you do that. But anyway, yeah, I answer your question, yes.
I'm gonna look at that. See if we're drinking the same thing. But I'll make my tea, not just that one, but anyone. If I have my teapot and I throw the leaves in there, and oftentimes I forget about it because I'm letting it steep. And then
Yeah.
I walk away. And I'm like, oh yeah. And then that time passes, and then I want to have my mushroom coffee, and I have to make the water, right? And I was like,
Yeah.
oh shoot, I still have my tea in here. I forgot.
Yeah. So you get
And
stronger and stronger. Yeah.
all right, well, my tea's still in there. Well, I don't throw it out. I just warm up the water, and then I use that for my tea. I mean, for my coffee.
What does that taste like? Does that taste all right?
It's fine.
I've been storing it in the refrigerator. If I don't drink it, I just keep it. So I end up with this container of soursop tea, cold. I don't, because I drink it cold as well as hot. I don't care about the temperature that
Sure,
much.
right. So my soursop doesn't say that. My
Oh, it
soursop just
does. It's,
says
do you have your glasses on? So.
looking at the package. It says 5 to 10 leaves per 8 ounce. Steep it at 175 degrees, and then steep time is 10 to 20 minutes, and that's it. And on the back it says soursop leaves may help with hormonal disorder, high blood pressure, cardiovascular health, fights cancer, fights tumors, fibros, and lupus, and that's it.
Huh. Well,
Yeah, so we may not have the same package.
we might not. They could have changed it. But mine says wash off the leaves and crumple them up. And I don't, I tried it, but I don't want to do it anymore. I mean, I don't mind washing them off, but I want them in there whole. I like them whole. It's more fun. I don't think it
Well,
changed anything,
where did you get
frankly.
it from?
From you.
How did.
You sent me the first soursop too. I'm still
Oh,
drinking
I
it.
know why. Because that was the soursop I ordered from Amazon. Right?
Boy,
Yeah. That's
Amazon has dirty soursop
It's still organic. I don't know, but I don't have that bag. So I get my bag from the farmer's market.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different then. They would.
Yeah.
There'd be no FDA controls there.
Yeah.
So, I
So.
mean, you might not even be eating soursop. You might be eating something else, not even realize because nobody's controlling it. There's no control. There's no federal control. There's no government looking at your stuff. See, I go with the government all the time for purpose, for
Yeah,
safety.
and we've learned to trust that. Sure, John. I don't know. I think they what?
Did I say the wrong thing? No, I didn't. I don't think so. No.
Yeah, right. Pass the FDA. Is that what you're gonna say? Right. Yeah, that would surprise me that they want you to wash it off. I don't know about all that, but anyway, but that's what I do. I don't waste my tea. I just use the same water and I make my coffee.
But you've got special water too. You're using clean water.
Yeah.
Yeah, for everything. I'm still stuck with a Brita. I don't go beyond the Brita.
You got to get something more than that, John.
That's all I got so far.
But the Brita doesn't take out anything.
I got some stuff.
Okay. Well, it doesn't take out fluoride. And fluoride is terrible for us. Terrible. Should never be. Stay away from it.
Well, do I have to eat, drink distilled water?
Do you have to? No, you don't have to.
No, but I mean, is that the answer? Is eating distilled?
No, hydrogen water is the best. And you can get a flask. You can get your own hydrogen, your personal hydrogen water maker thing. Yeah. You can get
Hydrogen
that.
water. Let me see. Does that add years to my life? Hydrogen
Yes.
water.
Yeah. It's the best.
Hydrogen water machine. Is that
Yeah.
like that?
Or the.
Well, what does it do? I mean, I can, I've got dehumidifiers. I can just drink distilled water out of the bag of the dehumidifiers if I want to. Screen them.
No, look at they're about $50 or so on Amazon.
What do they do?
It says,
Does it do it with like a lights? Does it do it with lights? Or how does it get out of there? What does it do?
trying to improves water quality in 3 minutes using advanced SPE and PEM technology. 3 minutes of rapid electrolysis improves water quality. A single use can produce a high concentration of 1600 ppb hydrogen, turning ordinary drinking water into alkaline water rich in hydrogen ions, suitable for all drinking water quality. Food grade material, easy to clean, stylish, healthy gift option, and blah blah blah. This
I'll
isn't
look it
really
up. I'll look it up. Yeah.
telling what it
Is
does.
that so that what you do? Is that how you do it? Do you do it with your own machine?
I don't have my own machine, but the where I buy my water, they have hydrogen water, but you can't get a lot of it because you have to drink it in a certain amount of time, or else it goes flat.
Oh, okay.
You lose the benefit.
Okay. I'll look into that.
But
Yeah.
yeah, it's super good for you. It really hydrates your body.
Well, hydration is a big thing for me because of just, I mean, this surgery I'm going into on the 29th. Yeah. I mean, the preparation I have to go through to walk into the operating room is just ridiculous. But it's like I tell them, I said, if you don't put I want a line in my arm when I clear the door. Because dehydration is not happy. I'm not happy with dehydration at all, at all. And you guys have got me on this, no food, no this, no that. you know, clean out your GI system, blah, 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 for the days before. I said, I'm going to be a wreck. My body will not be happy. And so I told the doctor, I said, you know, I'm going to be first in the queue on the operating theater that next day. When I walk through the door, when I clear the door, I want a line in my arm with saline right out of the box. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I said, when pull the weenie out of the box, I'll be out of there. If I go into AFib, there'll be no operation. You know, because I'll be admitted in the ER for, I'll put 200 rems and they'll bounce me off the table a couple of times, you know, to get my heart back. And
so,
go on.
Are they limiting your, you know, your, like your water foods?
They're limiting
all the things to hydrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In other words, they want me, I mean, they will let me hydrate myself, but they will, but because it's a GI thing, they're going to empty out my whole GI tract, right? Which is, right. Which feeds the whole other thing. And so I will be effectively dehydrated, you know, for
okay,
probably
but,
12 hours.
All right. With the food. So you can't eat any water-rich food is what we're saying.
I know I can't eat any food of any kind, and I can only any have kind. Sips of water. Yeah, only have sips of water. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So so anyway, that's not a big deal as long as I get anyone on board. You know, this is what I expect going in.
Mm-hmm.
And it works out pretty well. You know, I've been going to this hospital for 50 years. They all know who I am. You know, I get in the short line every time I walk in there. But anyway, it's cool. I feel, you know, I feel really good. I feel really good right now.
Good.
Good. Whatever's been going on, it's working. And so that's good. And I'm all set to go again. I think it's going to be a huge home run success, frankly, all things considered.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think you should get one of these bottles.
A bottle or that the hydrogen, the machine thing? Talking about the machine.
Yeah, the personal bottle. Yeah, I think you should get one of those and start hydrating now while you can. And then that'll take you right through the surgery.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Get out ahead of it.
Right. Sure. Exactly. Start hydrating right now, and then when you can't have anything but sips of water, sip that water so that you're getting more bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good idea.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, look at that.
Yeah, good. And stay the hell away from
56 minutes and 40 seconds to get to that point. You could have started that right off the bat.
Well, that's typical for our conversation. Yeah, we don't know what the heck we're going to talk about, where we're going to go. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
No, but I'm glad we did land on that. That's really important. And you do feel the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. So, anyway. And again, congratulations on finishing Floppy Feathers.
Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations on being the protagonist and probably becoming the most famous woman in the world. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Just save me a seat, that's all.
Oh, save my gosh. Seat.
They're going to blow by me in a minute when they figure out who you are. Yeah.
But you know what? I don't know about that, John.
Oh, I do know. I've been watching you on what do you call it? Spotify?
Spotify.
You put your new show up there. I mean, yesterday morning, you were second in the queue. You were ahead of everybody.
I don't know how that works. I don't know.
No, I wasn't stunned because I know how good you are, but I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, well, I think what got my attention was that I'm spooling through and boom, there you are, right? Okay, that's nice. And then I'm going down below who's following you. And there's some of the biggest names in media that are behind you on Spotify, which is the biggest game in town. And I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm talking to this woman every day, you know?
I don't know. I just don't know how these things work. I don't really pay attention. I kind of just do my thing and I'm out.
Well, it's
And I
working.
appreciate that you do look.
Oh yeah, I follow
And
you.
I,
Absolutely, I follow you. I mean, I'm not a
yeah,
Merrily
you.
groupie, but I mean, I do. I watch you because I really. I mean, I'm excited about your success. I'm literally excited about your success because I give myself credit for saying to myself, "Self, Merrily is worth." I mean, she is a diamond. She's a diamond. She's a white diamond. And she's really good, and pay attention, kiddo. And so I did, and God, I'm just being proven right over and over and over again. You're just wonderful. You're
Thank
popular.
you.
You're smart. I mean, forget about the popular, but you just really know what you're doing. And media, I don't know whether it's an algorithm decided to like you or some person decided to like you, but somebody at Spotify decided you're a winner and you're making them look good.
Huh. That's
So,
interesting.
congratulations, winner.
Well,
Very, very nice.
and I really do appreciate that because clearly YouTube didn't
Yeah, well, just the difference in how they decide to do stuff. But
same way. Yeah, I don't even know what is going on with that whole thing, but clearly it's like going through all those different people. Remember we were talking about going through all the different people who say no, 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 and then finally you land on the one person who knows how to handle it, and then it's like yes.
yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. How many
Well,
platforms have I just been going through and they go out? Who knows? I don't know.
but I think you're natural. You've got a natural curiosity that causes you to win stuff like that. Your curiosity, you're reaching all the time, and I think it has to do with your intellect. I don't think it's because you're self-absorbed. I think it's just because of your intellect. You're just smart. You can analyze stuff. And it's one of the reasons that I liked you at the very beginning was because you were smart, intelligent, basic intelligence, right out of the box. Really good.
It's really fascinating to think about that now, looking back to where we started, and I remember like when you first came on to my Zoom call, and I was like, that is so sweet of him. Like what made you decide to join,
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Other than it was just, I give myself credit for recognizing quality. That
Yeah.
I'm not going to be wasting my time when I sit in your Zoom call.
Right.
This will not be a waste of my time. Believe me, I am vicious about my time. So.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's what I'm kind of saying in my story is like, I obviously had no idea who you were. It was just this automatic vibrational connection. It was just a tone. We just connected. And then for you to go so far as to join my call, I was flattered. I'm like, that was just really nice of him. And I clearly have no idea who you are, how accomplished you are, your whole nothing. And now that I know all this stuff, I'm looking back going, oh my gosh, I had no idea who I was sitting with.
Oh, what? Let's stop there. That's good. Yeah, I'll take that. Okay.
It's quite
All
an
right.
honor.
All
All
right.
right, John.
Thank you.
I
I
love
love
you.
you. Okay.
I'll see
I
you.
love you. Bye
Bye.
bye.